This is the podcast that's going to show you how to get your content to go viral by a man that has not done it once, twice, but many, many times. If this is the thing that you want to listen to, stay tuned. Let's go. Simon.
Hi.
Mate, I first discovered you, we were just speaking off camera, but I first discovered you when this particular story went viral about Mr. Tumble.
Yeah.
Now, if you're listening from the UK, Mr. Tumble is like the number one children's TV presenter in the UK up to about 5 years old. Just talk me through that, because that really did go wild, didn't it?
It did. And I mean, it went wild, but it didn't get me, you know, sued or anything, which is always a positive. But
did you get any? Just what was the heading? I can't remember what
that
it
heading.
Was.
It was anger as Mr. Tumble suspended by the BBC for failing a CRB check.
That was it.
Yes.
But it was put in such a way that everyone thought it was real, because people were sharing it.
Because
that's the thing, people didn't click on to see that it was on, because you forgot a fake news site, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was definitely on South News Network at the time, yeah.
Which is, but people were sharing it because...
It was, but I mean, there were two actual red herrings in the title itself. Number one, a fictitious personality can't have a CRB check.
Yeah.
And number two, it had already become a DBS check by then as well. Because, I mean, there were so many people jumping on there going, it's called a DBS now. I was like, I know, that's the joke. Oh,
but then because they didn't click on it, I mean, this just
people share headlines without even clicking. That's
how it goes. Well, here's the thing. Yeah. I always, when I'm doing seminars about marketing and stuff, I always tell people there's 80% heading, 20% content.
Yeah.
If you don't get your heading right, it doesn't matter how good your content
is,
because no one's going to read it. Now, what amazes me, you have really had no formal training in any of this stuff, but like that literally went national, didn't it? That?
Well, I mean, my only background professionally was years ago. I had a job working for a social media moderation agency, and we sat through lengthy sessions about how to not get sued. That was it, really. As in, stuff you could say to get sued, stuff you could get away with, basically.
And you'd work this...
And that, I just kind of worked that into my fake news writing. I mean, there was one incident. There was one incident where I got a nasty 14-page solicitor's letter, and it was for something really stupid. It wasn't for libel or anything like that. It was because I'd accidentally used a company's logo in... I mean, I'm not even supposed to mention it per whatever, but it's just quite funny how it all went.
Yeah,
but so other than that, I've never had a brush with a load of lawyers, which is quite handy. So,
but that there, did you ever get the BBC get in contact with you, or anyone get in contact with you about Mr. Tumble?
Not about that, but a little while later, I did a little radio interview with Five Live about fake news when it was a big thing with the whole Trump and Brexit thing.
Yeah.
And just... when I was going through this Radio 5 interview, the Radio 5 interviewer would not mention the headline because he didn't want to get in trouble. I thought, if I didn't get sued for spreading it around the internet, I'm sure you're not, mate. But that's the only time I really had any kind of acknowledgement from the BBC that it happened.
But let's just quickly dive into just the attention-grabbing stuff for listeners here. How many... Southend News Network was your first fake news thing that I discovered. Yeah. That was about 3-4 years ago.
That's it, it was about 2015 it started. Yeah.
So, how many people have seen your stuff? Have you got any stats on
that? Oh, blimey. When you look at Google Analytics, I've not checked for ages, but it was up to about 30 million this time last year, as in unique hits.
13 million?
30 million for
you. And you've had no real training on how to do it. No one's taught you how to do great headlines and copy. I mean, you're doing like newspaper stuff without any training, really, aren't you?
Which again, when real journalists, I mean, when it first started, I got a bit of kickback from, got a bit of flack from a couple of local journalists working for various local, just saying, oh, you know, you're getting more views than us. That's just kind of garbage, basically. But as in, I'd get sort of journalists say, well, you know, I don't get how you're getting all these views and we're not. And so it's just purely... It's really just feeding a need for people to rip into institutions and famous people and stuff like that.
Yeah, but also, like, so the last week there was a children's festival and the BBC picked it up. So,
well, I mean, it's not just the BBC. I mean, the BBC picked up on it, and then I checked this morning, it's been picked up by The Sun, Metro, Daily Mail. But they haven't actually quoted what I wrote. They've basically quoted that I wrote a review that had 750 comments. They've not actually quoted the review itself. Because I think they're a bit kind of old, you know, he was a bit strong. But it was just how I felt, to be honest. I mean, there were just so many parenting blogs or whatever would go out there and they'd leave a nicely review on it because they got free tickets. And that would just go against everything that I personally believe in doing. So,
But what I'm saying is, the BBC, like the national website for the BBC, mentioned your blog in their copy of on there. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah. Oh yeah, now, I mean, maybe they find me first, just sort of go through a few bits and pieces. Because I've done stuff on the BBC before, so they already have my details. Literally, just phone me up.
What amazes me, you're quite blasé about. I'm sitting here and you're blasé. Yeah, it was mentioned on the BBC. Yeah, we've got 30 million. Like most business owners, marketeers, entrepreneurs, you've mentioned newspapers. Yeah. Like they spend their whole time trying to make this stuff happen.
Yeah.
I mean, if a company, like people get a bonus if they got their company mentioned in the BBC national website.
Mm.
But you seem to be just churning out this stuff repeatedly, getting hundreds of comments, loads of likes. Bill, I mean, that your new website, your new following, which is Man Behaving Dadly. Man Behaving Dadly, which is, how long's that been going?
That's been since January this year. So what, about seven months?
Yeah. 7 months.
Just over 7 months, yeah.
Well, just for people, give us some stats on the amount of comments you're getting and how big the audience is in 7 months.
Again, Facebook distinguishes now between likes and followers. It's about 97,000 likes, 105,000 followers. Again, I don't even know what the difference is. I think one of them, if you're a follower, it's because you don't want to openly admit that you like something. It's a bit weird like that,
I think.
But
they're regular interactors. Well,
quite a few of them. I mean, again, I checked the last month when you look, because you get your little Facebook insights for the last 28 days, and I checked it day before yesterday, and the last 28 days have been a reach of 19 million news feeds in the last 28 days. So that's about 5 million interactions. And again, that's mainly based off a pair of anti-embarrassment glasses for people who don't want to see people breastfeeding, just like me with a picture with these two little specs on saying anti-embarrassment breastfeeding glasses. That was just after KLM.
That's what you kicked off in January, putting that up.
That was only the other week. I mean, the thing that kicked off, the thing that kicked the whole page off would have been, see, there's been a few posts, but it was more, I did a post where I was holding my baby son James like this with a bottle in his mouth.
Great name.
Intentional. So I've got his bottle here like this. And it was just after there'd been a story in the news about a woman being asked to cover up while she's feeding her baby. Obviously, she's got her boob out and she's asked to cover up. And so I said, oh, I was just feeding my baby with a bottle. And somebody came over and said, you need to cover your biceps up. They're distracting me from my lunch. And the problem was that half the people knew that it was a joke. And the other half actually were sending me messages saying, this is disgusting. You know, I can't believe you've been through this.
They didn't believe it.
And eventually, after about the 15th comment on a thread underneath it, because people were commenting madly, and they go, people were finally, you know, the penny was finally dropping. Because I put at the bottom of the actual comment on it, the bottom of the description, I said, actually, this is completely made up, but I just want you to think. But so many people never get to that.
No.
As you're saying, it's all 80%, and it just... It's the top bit, and it just gets, I know.
This is what people don't remember about Martin and headlines, and it's all about the beginning. It's a, but let me just quick, before I want to ask you what your best headlines have been to get audience, but first of all, do you not think that that's amazing that in 7 months you've built all those followers, you're getting 19 million interactions, 5 million whatever the other thing was?
Yeah.
You know, there's businesses that are 10, 20 years old that have been on Facebook since 2008 and 9 that just don't touch them sort of numbers. Do you not?
It's crazy. I mean, I don't. If somebody came to me,
you've done, do you?
I do sometimes, but I mean, I tend not to get carried away with it because a lot of people, they'll sort of, you know, throw their following around. Do you know what I mean? They'll go, hi, I'm Simon. I've got 100,000 followers. And oh, right, great. You know, it just sort of makes you sound a bit, you know, pompous. Even though it is definitely an achievement, I think, but I just don't get carried away with it, I think.
So how do you, why do you do it? For fun, or do you want to try and monetize it to make a career out of it?
Well, again, I monetize other pages already, which is quite fortunate because one of the pages that I run with a business partner is a dash cam page called Dodgy Drivers, where people send us clips of dash cam footage and we just basically stitch them all together and broadcast them. And then when you get to a 3 minute video, Facebook insert ad breaks in the middle, and then you just basically earn a certain amount per view or per 1,000 views. Facebook work it out.
And how's that doing for you?
That's our main source of income at the moment, because Facebook
are
pretty much at the moment, along with some other social media consultancy stuff on a very informal basis. The fake news side of things, that was my main earner for a while. until Facebook adverts through AdSense, Facebook Audience Network, for instance, articles.
Yeah.
Except now Facebook are hammering any kind of satire and fake news in terms of your advertising reach. So it's become more of a hobby again, which is a shame, but at some point Facebook will change their mind and let people heavily monetize fake news again. I mean, I've got friends who publish fake news that have had their pages completely demonetized and, you know, clobbered basically. So it's just, it's such a fickle business, social media as
so,
a living.
So if you was me, would you put all my YouTube content, do you think I should put that on Facebook? So that
definitely, definitely. Because I mean, if all your content is already 3 minutes long anyway.
Yeah, well, it's more than that. Basically.
Oh, perfect. Then again, it's relatively straightforward to get to the threshold with Facebook. You think it's still, I mean, and this decided to change it since I last looked. It's 10,000 followers and 10,000 viewing hours within the last 60 days and 10,000. Again, they keep changing it. It's best to check and keep up with it. But
the thing is, I'm quite up on all this stuff more than most because it's obviously what we do. I'm learning stuff that I didn't know. I'm a chance. Yeah. You know, do you know any of this stuff?
Not really.
No, I mean,
it's quite new compared to. Because I mean,
Well,
Facebook have been criticised for years for encouraging people to publish video content but not giving publishers a cut. YouTube have been doing it for, you know, since the year dot.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, and so people have made a living for themselves out of being on YouTube. With Facebook, they were stuck because Facebook were keeping all the advertising revenue from any video content, and also Facebook were penalising people trying to push people over to YouTube. As in, if you post a YouTube link on Facebook, the engagement's always very low because they don't want people leaving Facebook for YouTube. So Facebook finally woke up to it, refined their own video advertising platform, and now they're letting people in. As long as you're not overly adult in nature, there's no real violence or anything necessarily disgusting. It's the same as YouTube, but I mean, YouTube are getting ridiculously strict now, I believe, with people that I know are getting their pages demonetized. It's got a lot to do with the EU's, what's it called, the copyright directive that's coming in and stuff that. Yeah. So they're finding it harder and harder.
So how new
monetize.
Is this? Like, you're talking months, years?
It was still under they were trialling it for the last few years. And I think round about this time last year, people started getting a little ping saying, you know, you've hit this threshold, would you like to apply on Facebook? But again, Facebook never make a massive song and dance about stuff when it comes out. It's just kind of, they introduce it very, very slowly.
Yeah.
People stumble upon it and then word spreads. There was no kind of Apple-style fanfare launch, basically. No. It was all just very much, here it is.
And when you said about the followers, so you've got 97,000 likes, but 150,000 followers.
105, yeah.
So it's a little bit more than your likes, is that what it...
Yeah, and again, the only way that I understand a like is if you click like, obviously, on the page.
Yeah.
And you don't mind other people knowing that you like that page.
Yeah.
I think a follow is when you click like and then you don't necessarily want everybody to know that you like that page. I mean, again,
is
it's
that
a bit,
for like political
I don't know,
pages?
Possibly, though. Or I think as well, it's unintentional for a lot of people. Like, if you publish a lot of video content, like live videos, you get a thing up saying follow as opposed to like.
Yes, I've seen
so,
that.
I mean, again, it would be a lot easier if there was just one standard term for it because I don't get why you would like, and you know, like, likes and follows is more of a Twitter terminology, I think, or Instagram follow. But I think Facebook need just to simplify it with just likes.
What's been your best headlines that have attracted and built your audience? Because some of them, they're just going to make me laugh, and that's what I want to know.
It was the, well, let me think. It was the Mr. Tumble one just now. It was in Mr. Tumble suspended by the BBC after failing a CRB check.
That's fantastic.
Which again, as I was saying before, was absolute rubbish for two reasons. Number one, you cannot run a background check on someone who doesn't exist.
Yeah.
That's why, if I'd have said Justin Fletcher, you know, I'd have been like, you know, sued ridiculously. And also, it became a DBS by then as well. But again, people don't think it's just anger. Yeah. Click, click, click. Anger is South End Beaches ban bikinis for cultural reasons, which was, it was basically playing to the knuckle-dragging mentality from people in
this
country.
But did people believe that?
Yeah, they believed it. And Tommy Robinson shared it on his Twitter feed when he had it.
Did he?
He did, before they kicked him off. The one that's got possibly the most attention was, what was it? The M25 is going to be shut for a week so they can have a jogging race around it. And
a jogging race
and a cycling race. It was called the Orbital Committal. It was by the government to promote healthy lifestyles. And the problem was, the reason that went viral was because it went quiet for a few months. Then there was a big bike event in London.
Yeah.
called Ride London or something, where they were closing the city just for people to cycle around it. And Katie Hopkins was on her way to her LBC radio show before she got sacked. She goes to her LBC radio show. She's ranting and raving for 15 minutes, 20 minutes about just, oh, these bloody cyclists, blah, blah, blah. You know, I hate them. And then I think some junior researcher wanting a laugh passed her a bit of paper with a printout from my website. And
no
she goes, and I've still got the audio. I'll just have to send it to you later. But gets a piece of paper. And she goes, and I can't believe what I'm now hearing. The M25 is going to be shut for one whole week.
Oh.
And then she starts reading it out.
Can we put that audio in, Chad?
Yeah, but I'll find it for you. I mean, it's all on audio. And she goes, I can't believe it's going to be shut for one whole week. And she's reading it word for word, paragraph by paragraph.
Oh, fantastic. Let's put it in now. One sec. We're putting it in right now.
Interestingly, Philip, thank you very much indeed for your call, sir. The M25 motorway is due to close for one whole week in August as the Department of Health and sports officials are organising a fitness event that's being billed as the ultimate endurance race. So that's to close the M25 motorway for one whole week in August. And that will take place first to the 8th of the August of August 2016. Teams of four people invited to walk, jog or run the complete 117 miles that make up the second longest orbital motorway in the world. Well, I'm up for that, if only to go and mock people that are causing such chaos and havoc.
30 minutes later, she then issues an apology saying, oh, it turns out it wasn't real, I've been had. But I ended up turning that into a massive positive in the end, because she obviously goes and puts it up on her... I think it was social media channels, and then she obviously takes it off again. And then a little while later, what was it? How did it all kick off? She made some nasty comments about Trussell Trust, food bank charity.
Yeah.
Obviously based all over the UK, they do a massive amount of good work, obviously helping people in need. And what happened was, she was taken to court by a food blogger from Southend called Katie Monroe.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's got, she does various sort of thrift blogs and 50 cooking, stuff like that. Anyway, she gets taken to court over libel proceedings. They find against Katie Hopkins, and she's charged. She has to pay £324,000 in damages and legal costs.
Yeah.
So I go and set up a Just Giving page.
Yeah.
Saying, let's cover Katie Hopkins' legal fees.
You did.
And I put at the bottom in very, very small text, please note all donations are actually going to Trussell Trust. And it was all done through the Trussell Trust's and Just Giving's social media channel. Just Giving channel. So it was all above board, you know. And then people start finding the funny side of it and donating. The problem was, somebody sent the link to Katie Hopkins.
No.
She then puts a link on her Twitter feed to her 800,000 followers.
No.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 800,000 followers going, report this link as fraud. It's disgusting. She then shares it. She then takes it off about half an hour later. But by then, so many people had seen it. It goes through £5,000, £10,000, £15,000, £20,000. I have to check how far it got then. It was a good like £20,000 plus gift aid going to Trussell Trust, because she shared it, telling everybody to report it before.
Fantastic.
But again, with that, the positive part with that was, I then sent her a tweet, just chancing my arm, saying, are you prepared to apologise for calling me fraudulent? And she tweeted me back saying, yes, I'm so, so sorry. I'm so very, very sorry. Under the new laws of Twitter, I'm so, so very, very sorry.
Oh,
and this was before she had to erase her whole account and start again. But I've still got the tweet like printed out at home somewhere.
But what you do in your headings is you make them just believable enough, don't you?
There was a slightly... there was a slightly higher profile one actually than that with the Sun newspaper a while ago as well. I took my, this was before my son was born. This was when my daughter Emma, she's now two, she was only about 6 months old at the time. And we had this little cow onesie, for a little cute little cow onesie thing. It was a cold day. We take her down to Soft Play, Monkey Business in Hockley, with this little cow onesie on. I'm basically looking at her, playing with all the toys, this cow onesie. I'm thinking, do you know what would be hilarious? What if she got kicked out of a vegan's birthday party for upsetting him? So again, absolutely no intention of ever going viral with it, but I just put a thing up saying, you know, vegan baby kicked out of cow's, cow baby wearing a onesie, you know, kicked out of a vegan's birthday party for causing offence.
No.
Typed it out. I gave him a load of fake names as well, like the baby was called Tanya Hyde, right? All these little clues. The vegan mother was called Esmeralda Sawyerbinton, and all these stupid little, you know. So you know, it would take anybody the intelligence of a two-year-old to realise it was fake. Anyway, a few days passes. People see it. It's a joke. Or people get angry. It's a joke. It's a joke. All of a sudden, I get an email from a journalist at The Sun.
Yeah.
Saying, oh, hi, we just want to know, are we okay to use the pictures for a story we're doing? And I was like, yeah, go on in. Thinking, go on, let's see what happens.
Read it properly.
They never read anything. They just saw it, didn't note the source. If they would have Googled South End News Network, it would have come up with loads of stuff about saying it's fake. But
yeah.
Go steaming in. This was a Saturday morning. So obviously they had the sort of weekend staff on. I just kept really stum. And they said, oh, is there any chance we can speak to the mum as well? I was like, oh, no, it's all going to go. So I go and created a fake Outlook account with the mum was called Millie Hyde or something, I can't remember now. And I created this fake Outlook account and waited for an email from the Sun journalist.
Yeah.
Journalist sends a thing through. And I was like, yeah, I was disgusted. It was ridiculous. Whatever. And I was really upset about it. And there were so many quotes in the story saying, like, you know, why did you kick the baby at the birthday party? You know, it's not like you'd take a kid to a Muslim's birthday party dressed as a side of gammon. It's that sort of all this ridiculous stuff in it. Anyway, the email goes back to the Sun, and I thought, they're not going to buy this. They're not going to buy it. And then about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, this was a Saturday, 2017. I remember back in April. All of a sudden, I'm scrolling through Facebook, and the Sun, on the Sun's Facebook page, there's a story saying, you know, mum outraged after daughter in cow onesie kicked out a vegan's birthday party. Oh, and they've reproduced it paragraph by paragraph to their whatever 2 million followers on Facebook. And it took them about an hour and a half to realise and take it off. And everyone's going, do you not know where you got it from? And they're literally quoting paragraphs and chunks. It's because I think they had a real thing about knocking the vegans. But if you're going to knock the vegans, don't base it on something that's blatantly made up.
Oh, my God.
And it's just little things like that. I've realised that, you know, the more people warn about the dangers of fake news and do your research and do your checks, the more certain people just don't bother checking anything.
But yours is not fake news. Yours is comedy, isn't it?
That's always the line I draw. There's fake news to entertain. I'm not trying to intentionally upset people or get people's heads caved in, like some fake news. Like, all stuff with Trump and the election and Clinton and the pizza place.
No,
because that's what can get you in a hell of a lot of trouble, I think. But unfortunately, the more that media networks and government want to crack down on the fake news side of things, the more it's going to bleed into bashing satire, which is one of the reasons why it just didn't become worth my time churning up all these stories. So I looked elsewhere for a bit, and I'm hoping maybe one day if the algorithms are better, I'll move back onto the satire side of things. But I know loads of other pages I speak to have said the same thing.
Because you obviously got a natural talent for writing, haven't you?
Yeah, try to.
But when did you find that out? Did you find that out at school? Or?
I don't know. It's just kind of when I first started South End News Network, it was pretty dire. Certain bits of it were just completely dire. It was just kind of, I'd read the stuff back and think, oh God, this is so forced and tacky, it's awful. I mean, again, the first thing that ever took off on South End News Network was the Dartford Tunnel being closed because Kentish immigrants were trying to walk through it for like a better life in Essex. This was at the same time as people were trying to walk through the Channel Tunnel to get to England. And again, that was a complete, you know, that was more of a satire of the situation by people in this country towards people so desperate to get into the UK or walk through the Channel Tunnel.
Yeah,
they've gone and closed the Dartford Tunnel now because people are walking through it. Because all these people in Kent will live in Essex because we've got drive-through KFCs and we've got grammar schools, you know, and stuff like that. And again, that was when that was the first time that I'd actually written something that people proper resonated with, because so many people hate the Dartford Tunnel.
I
found it's not always about the quality of what I'm writing. It's about writing about something that people genuinely not only care about, but like getting their knickers in a twist about.
Which is
why I eventually got into parenting writing. Because again, the parenting blog at the moment, parenting is a massive divisive issue because everyone thinks they're an expert.
Yeah.
I don't. I do not think I'm an expert. I'm the last thing. I just rant. And people that follow me say, I don't always agree with what you write, but I do like your page because I just rant. And sometimes I go too far.
What does she do, or your...
My wife's a music teacher, and she's not working at the moment because she's got like the three kids at home, so she's kind of concentrating on that.
But, so you bloody need to make some money from your monetization.
Pretty much, yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. But I mean,
let's make sure we get. Yeah. I mean, guys, I really recommend this guy. Yeah. If you need copywriting or anything written for your business, get this guy on retainer because he's absolutely blooming fantastic.
But I mean, just going back to the family side of things, the thing that I'm really grateful for in terms of what I do is it kind of allows me the opportunity to maybe say, okay, let's just go over Marsh Farm for the day.
Yeah, yeah.
Because again, I can always just get my stuff done. Late at night, whatever. There's no.
Mate, well, you're never
kind of lifestyle, mate, really. But
I just love what you're doing, and I want to keep connected with you. You'll never pay to come into one of our venues again.
Lovely.
So I'm selling them all next week.
Brilliant.
Mate, I really loved it. I mean, I just want to sum it up. The big things that I've learned. Yeah. It's you really amplify people's pain. You find a connection with them. So, like, people are talking about the M25 thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate the bloody M25.
Oh,
it takes literally hours of my life, days of my life, and probably by the time I've died, I've tot it all up and I've spent a year of my whole entire life on that bloody road, I'm sure. So you find something that really people can connect with and you amplify that and extreme that pain. You also really work hard on those headlines. I can see that your mind clicks, don't you? And you use comedy and stories emotion weaved into
that. That is basically what I'm doing now with the Man Behaving Dadly page. I'm talking about stuff and people comment saying, you say stuff that I'm really afraid to say. And I think that sounds more like a far right figurehead, thinking like, you get them out of our country. But it's just kind of like, I'm just kind of saying stuff that I think people don't always agree with.
Yeah, yeah.
But they kind of respect me for saying it.
Well, I think the silent majority is the thing that, you think of like Trump, like loads of people that don't like him say it out there. And we always talk about this, but actually the silent majority voted him in, didn't they?
Pretty much.
Yeah, and I think you see that with politics all the time, like people like Nigel Farage and stuff. There are people that wouldn't say that they would vote for him, but they would, there's loads of silent people.
They're called like shy-kippers or something.
Yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah. And is it? And I think that continues to happen. But it's been a fantastic podcast. If people wanted to get in touch with you for them to help with their copy, what's the best way of? If they're a business owner, what's the best way to get in touch?
Just through the Man Behaving Dadly page. That's how most people contact
me. Private message. I mean, you're not at the stage now where you haven't got a team answering your messages.
Not yet, no. I mean, when I first started South End News Network, I had a job teaching in a school as well at the same time.
So you had your teacher as well?
Well, I was doing I do like the IT support, and I was also technically, it's known as tutoring or instructing. So I'm not actually a qualified teacher, but I was taking groups of kids, helping them with their IT and web safety and stuff like that.
So can you build do you build websites and stuff?
Just very basic ones, poorly. But well, I mean, again, for the stuff I do, I just need to know WordPress and sticking content up. But again, when I first started, because I had this sort of respectable job as well, if I ever did anything in public on South News Network, I used to have like a great big monkey mask on. Basically just to sort of stop people, caving my head in.
You know how to get attention, don't you?
That was it. People just saw me, like, there was this thing where I had a cake made for the local A&E department because there was some A&E thing going on. I had this cake made. And, of course, when I was photographed handing it over to the head of South End A&E, I had my sort of monkey mask on like this because at the time I was kind of trying to stay anonymous.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, again, there was some stuff on South End News Network. I was getting some horrible emails from people saying, oh, you're killing this town, why don't you jump off South End Pier, that kind of thing.
Oh, lovely.
So, I mean, again, I do get a lot of this crap now, but I just ignore it. The main mistake I've made, and I keep saying I'm not going to fall down, go down this line again, but I get nasty messages from people now, and I just try not to engage. Beforehand, I'd proper get involved and, And the fact is, these people, trolls, get in touch with you because they purely want a reaction.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was giving it to them, which was stupid, because the more you feed them, the more they're going to, give it back.
Yeah.
Now I just tend to ignore or block. It is hard sometimes when they get proper personal.
Yeah, I get
that. But again, look, this is what I do. I'm happy with what I do. If you don't like it, naff off, basically. So.
Simon, Man Behaving Badly is the
Dadly.
Dadly, sorry.
Before the BBC sued me.
Man Behaving Badly. Obviously, the TV show, getting my head there. Man Behaving Dadly.
Yes.
Check it out on Facebook because I think there's a lot to learn that business owners can see how Facebook page does so well. Also, we're going to check out on the new Facebook video algorithms and that as well. That was a big thing I learned from there. Thanks, Simon. You've been fantastic. It's been a great little podcast.
Thank you.
Get that out really soon. Well done. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Cheers.